Good morning. Hope everybody had a good week. We had three good weeks. I came back last week, wore my African shirt, and thought I was going to freeze to death. But I didn't have all my pictures ready, so I got those ready this week. So I'm going to share with you some of what we did over there for 3 weeks. Now, as I told the kids, normally when I preach, I take the lesson since we've been reading through the Bible this year. Well, yesterday we were finishing off Colossians and Philemon. By the way, great letter. Colossians has an advantage that the other letters of Paul don't have, in that he didn't go to Colossae. So because he didn't go to Colossae, he shares stuff in Colossians that he would have preached on in Ephesus, and he would have preached on in Galatia. So some really basic things about Jesus were in the Colossians. And then Philemon is the best letter ever on how to persuade people. If you want to learn how to persuade people, read Philemon. Okay, well, that was just, well, instead of preaching on this week's reading, I preached on a reading that we had while we were in Africa, because it just fits so well. It's about your gift to Africa that was overflowing, okay? And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the last paragraph, verses 12 through 15, the last four verses. So I want you, if you would, to kind of follow along. We're going to be there as we look at some of the things that happened for 3 weeks in Uganda. Sound like a deal? All right. We went to the sewing center. If you notice the high electrical, no, those are treadle sewing machines, and they learned to do it by foot. And our granddaughter, by the way, made a dress on a treadle sewing machine and gave it to one of the girls there. It was so awesome. But we got to help them. My brother's wife helped teach them to do that. But the biggest thing wasn't learning how to sew. It was learning about meeting each other's needs and talking with each other. As I said, all of these ladies got together on the porch, and we're talking about ministers' wives and deacons' wives and so many others that just needed, what about this, what about that, just filled with questions. And Chris and Kathy blessed them so richly. Now, our text in 9 verse 12 starts out telling us that our gifts of service need to be overflowing with thanksgiving. He says here, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. We weren't just helping the people in Bethany Village. Your gifts that allowed us to go over there, and the things that you brought, all those school supplies you brought, they were so thankful for those. And the kids were just blessed to have those. We don't think, you know, a little pencil bag and erasers and pencils. Oh, by the way, I was stopped at security when I got on the plane because they saw all these little plastic explosives in my luggage, and they opened them up, and they were little erasers. But it was okay. They let me go through when they found out they were erasers. Anyway, how has your service supplied the needs of God's people? Those people, when they got their study Bibles, these house mamas and the ministers there, they were like a kid with a new toy. We don't understand, because we got all these I can have any kind of Bible I want. I can have Case for Christ Bible study, or I can have an archaeological Bible study Bible, or I can have a teen Bible study. I got all kinds of study Bibles here, and I can get them in the ESV and the NIV and the NAS and all. I can study anything I want to. That's not as available over there. And they were just so glad to have those. And they weren't just glad to have them. They went and blessed other people with what they had. And so the things that you blessed them, they multiplied that to others. Okay? So how have others been blessed by your overflowing gift? Not only did you bless us and bless our granddaughter that came with us and bless the other people, you got to bless the people we taught. They said, we have never had anybody over here who blesses us the way you guys do. They were so amazed that our ladies would wash our clothes, because they would wash the clothes for all the Anglos that came over there, all the Mzungas. They call us Mzungas, okay? They were just that we would sweep out the house and things like that, and that the ladies would serve popcorn for these ladies and talk with them and visit with them and let them come into their home. They were just so excited. They never saw anything like that. And when we would go, we would say, no, we don't need you to take us off to some other place to eat. We will eat the rice and whatever that other stuff was, matoka, which is, we would call it plantain, okay, the mashed plantain. Okay, it works. It's okay. And potatoes and rice and a little bit of meat, one little piece of meat, which is real stringy, and I got to floss my teeth a lot while I was there. Okay. Those dresses that Kathy made before she went, and the other dresses that Chris brought, and then the ones they made while they were there, we gave those to the kids, and they were like kids with new toys. They couldn't imagine. You know, when we were kids, if you got clothes for Christmas, you thought it was terrible. But these kids, they were just so glad. And dresses that we gave last year, when we came, the kids were wearing it to church this year. I thought that was so neat. And then we got to take off and go on a safari for 2.5 days. And it started on Jasmine's birthday. I says, this is a birthday picture you'll remember. That's a hippo behind her in the Nile River. So we went to the Nile River and saw all these animals. We saw giraffes. And the safari car we were in, the roof would go up. And she would stand in her seat and look out and just see everything. She was like in heaven, seeing all that stuff. This guy was on the way to going on the safari. He was like right there, okay, real close to our hotel room. The hippos. We called our boat driver. We called him the hippo herder because he'd go into a bunch of hippos and kind of herd them up onto the side so we could take pictures of them. I thought that was pretty neat. And this was the little crocodile. We saw a 14-foot-long crocodile. But we couldn't get our cameras out quick enough, and he went down. But they got some big crocs out there. But the driver says, hippos in the Nile are like Boda Bodas in Kampala. We'll tell you about that later. That's a little motorcycle. Oh, giraffes. We saw dozens of giraffes and all kinds of deer and antelope. They don't just play in America. We saw lions. We saw three mama lions and four cubs out there, and we saw they have long-horn cattle, but their long-horn cattle are different from ours. Now, how many times have you seen a grass hut with a solar? We thought that was pretty neat. Well, they have to have the solar for their cell phones, but they live in a mud hut with a grass thatched roof. I thought that was kind of interesting. Wasn't that the best picture? That's our trip to Africa. We saw that was our safari. It was an aunt safari. Okay. People are praising God because of your service. After our 2 days was up, we got to go to work. Okay? And they're praising God because of your service. Notice what it says in verse 13. He says, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience and that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Okay, because you did all that you did, because you made available to these people all that we did, all the gifts we brought four suitcases full. I mean like 50 pounds, 49.5 pounds. You're allowed to have 50 pounds, okay? We filled them all up. Thank you for your suitcases. They were wonderful. We filled them up with all this stuff, and they were just, they couldn't imagine all the stuff we brought to them. We brought ladles for all the mamas, so they had a ladle to because they got 14 kids in their house, and they didn't have a nice, so we got nice ladles for all of them. They really enjoyed all the things that were brought to them. We went over to the baby home. The baby orphanage has 34 kids under the age of 4. And they would just sit there and wait for their hands to be washed and for their food to be brought to them. They're so well. I have never seen this many well-behaved 3- and 4-year-olds in my life, 2- and 3-year-olds in my life. They were amazing. And then they would pick up their toys. They would do, it was awesome. The little ones had to be fed. Oh, and hugged. They didn't have to. We just enjoyed doing it. Diapered and had their onesies put back on and stuff. But when you got 35 kids, okay, there's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. We had kids everywhere, okay? They're blessed. Thank you for helping with that. I think it works. Now it's not driving. That's on. There it goes. Okay, people are praising God because of your service. We did that. Okay, how have you been proved faithful by your service? In other words, when you are serving God, it proves you faithful. In other words, all the stuff that you guys said you were going to do and helping us out on the trip over there, that made that trip possible. Without it, it couldn't have happened. All the people we got to teach. Last year, I preached in 18 churches. This year, I preached in less churches, but I preached more often to more people. We had two churches of over 500 that we preached at for over 10 hours. Okay, it was amazing. And a third of the audience in the first one were Muslim. Okay, now, how do you feel about the praises to God by so many for your service? You have no idea how many people thanked us for coming and thanked you for making it possible for us to come over there. Thank you all so much. They were just so surprised that people would take their time off to go to Africa to talk to them and take the money we had here, which is an unbelievable amount of money for them. You can work all day in a Chinese factory at Jinja and make 3,000 shillings. That's about 80 and a half cents. They had a special in the Wall Street Journal last year that the lowest wages in the world were 17 cents an hour in piecework in Malaysia. Nope. They make 8.05 cents an hour in Uganda, in Chinese factories. See, we don't understand. See, a dollar buys 3,736 shillings. At least did when we were there. It's crazy. So, people that you have blessed are praying for you. When we got to the baby home, we brought them Christmas. Christmas was bags of popcorn, bags of sugar, and a soccer ball. And that was Christmas. And they were just so thankful to have a bag of sugar. When we were kids, maybe you too, for Christmas, we would get an orange and an apple and some nuts that we cracked. Anybody get something like that for Christmas? That's what we used to get for Christmas. Okay? And they got a bag of sugar, and they were just, they were on top of the world. That was the nicest Christmas present they ever had. We don't understand that idea. Oh, this is our new student, by the way. His name's Aaron. He is the second high student in his class. And he didn't have funds to go to school next year, and so we provide annual funds for him. Okay. Let's see, 450,000 shillings is what it costs. And another 50,000 shillings for his medical for the year. That's $13.75 for the medical for a year. Okay, I just thought I'd throw that in. But he's our new student, Aaron. Awesome kid. Great. He would come to the house every day with a new scripture that he'd memorized. He loved that Bible that we gave him. He just, what a good heart this kid had in helping people. You can't imagine. We'd see his six-year-old sister, not his sister, in the next house. But the six-year-old girl with her two-year-old sister strapped on her back, carrying her down the road. We don't understand the way people live. Mama Betty was having a hard time because Mama Joy died. We had sad funeral service there for Mama Joy, whose real name is Betty, but she was the house mother for Joy House. And so they called her Mama Joy because they already had a Mama Betty in Worship House, but she and Chris had to talk and cry. After losing Mama Joy. And Mama Harriet also needed just some time to talk with us and pray with us. And this is Mama Winnie. And with this is my brother Tim and his wife. They need to pray with them. Some of the serving that went on there. Jasmine decided to take our ciabatta breads and put peanut butter on them and then put bananas on them. And they kids thought it was dessert. It was like great food. That's not bananas, that's matoka. It just looks like bananas and tastes like bananas, but they call it matoka. Okay. This is the little house where a 2-year-old girl and her cousin, Pretty and Precious, Peace, Pretty and Peace, sorry. Precious was another one. This is Chris taking her up to her house. Oh, and by the way, that's not her house. This is her house. And it's about the size of your bedroom, the whole house. And here's the five kids that live there with Mama. Well, Mama and Aunt. One of them's a niece. But they live there and on nothing. We can't imagine the way they go through life. When we left the safari, I wanted to show you this picture because we got one of these. I used this in an illustration for Bible class today. The little harps that David had, this harp also had a drum, and they would beat this thing with their hand. And we got to help them out and give them a tip. But that was a source of income for these guys. Here's something that is called a jackfruit. You could use jackfruit and feed the world. If you get it while it's green, you can use it as a meat substitute. If you let it get ripe, it tastes as good or better than papaya or mangoes. It's just a wonderful fruit. Tastes great. And they're huge. They're as big as watermelons. And he wanted a little. We got a little plastic serrated knife on the plane that we were using to cut up vegetables. And he really wanted one. He says, "I'll bring you jackfruit for one." So he brought us a jackfruit. So we ate jackfruit, and he got a plastic knife. But he thought it was a good deal because he just had to climb up a tree and break one off and get it down. And then the other ones, all these kids are carrying these 5-gallon. Cans of water, because that's how you get water. They don't have plumbing in their houses. They have to go down to the well and get water and bring it back home. And mamas would have babies strapped on their backs and baskets with loaded whatever they had on their heads, and that's the way they went through life. People that you have blessed are praying for you. Look what it says in verse 14. He says, "And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God's given you." See, God's given you surpassing grace. Were you lost in sin and somebody taught you about Jesus? Did someone bless your life? Then you blessed others with what you had. And they are thanking God and praying to God in thanksgiving for what you gave to them, the ways that you blessed their lives. Now, how's it feel to know that there's people praying for you clear over in Uganda, Africa? There are people over there thanking God for you. Tell them how much we appreciate all that they did and all that they brought. And they want us to tell you that. And that's what I'm trying to do. Thank you for all that you did for them. Now, why is it important that the praises are not for you? The praises are not for me. The praises are for God's grace. Because you see, God is living on the earth. Jesus is walking and talking on the earth. It's just sometimes he looks like Bill. Okay? Sometimes he looks like Jerry or Margaret. Okay? He's living on the earth through us. Okay? So it's not us doing it. We're thanking God and they're praising God for what he's done. He just happened to use your arms and legs. Use your income and gifts. Now, this was at the conference the last week we were there. We had 261 people, so many that we had to put up extra tents, and the next day we had to put up two more tents. So he had four tents. And tents are not to keep the rain off of you. Occasionally it rains. But tents are to keep the sun off of you, because you're 20 miles from the equator and there's a lot of sun. Okay? So it's a little warm up there. Now, this was a congregation south and east of Jinja, on the other side of the Nile River. And this is what most of the church buildings look like. The rafters are just kind of pieced together wood. The poles holding up the house are pieced together wood, and they've got cloth over that. And when the wind blows, those things all blow. The walls blow. Kind of interesting. But you get to tell about Jesus the whole time. We preached there in that place for 2 days, over 10 hours. It was awesome. It was amazing. What about this? What about that? A soldier came up and he says, "I'm a soldier. My life's pretty violent. How can I be saved? Am I lost, or do I have to quit my job?" Okay, we'd preach for maybe 3 or 4 hours and then answer questions for 6 or 7 hours. Okay, because they had questions on everything. And so we took him to Luke 3 and showed him that, you know, when the soldiers came, John didn't tell them to quit being soldiers. Okay, he told them to be content with their wages and not take anything by force. And then later on, Paul was chained to soldiers for 2 years. And during those 2 years, when he writes the letter to the Philippians, he says, "Greetings from Praetorian, the whole Praetorian Guard." Well, why? Because when they were chained to him, not only could he not get away, they couldn't get away, so he taught them about Jesus. I says, "You're not the only soldier who's a Christian. Look at all these guys, they're Christians. Look at Cornelius in Acts 10, he's a Christian." I mean, all these guys gave their lives to God, and they still stayed being soldiers. So it's okay for you to be a soldier. You just be a Christian one. And so he really liked that. And other, we had questions. The ladies got the tough questions because, you know, "My husband got a co-wife, and what do I do?" Or, "I'm the co-wife, and what do I do?" It's tough. You have to answer tough questions over there. Now, this is the place where we had over 500 people here. And if you notice, these are all Muslim ladies here. And back here, there's all these Muslim men back here. And they had more people outside on speakers outside because there wasn't room inside. There's only room inside for about 350 people. Oh, and Kathy got to teach Bible classes to the little kids. And while she was teaching the little kids, I got to teach the teenagers. And when I taught the teenagers, guess what? I didn't have to have an interpreter because they all learn English in school. So what about this? And they had some great questions. Yeah, teenagers. You get some good questions from teenagers. But the thought is, they all thank God for what you did. Not just thanking us, thanking God. That's what the text says. It says, "And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you." It's because of what God's doing through you. Did you know that God could use you to bless people in Africa? He did, didn't he? All right. Now, we all need to be filled with and motivated by thanksgiving. Look at what he finishes off the chapter saying in verse 15, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable grace." I can't tell you all the awesome things that happened. Now, I can tell you the best one. Here's the best one. Next year, they want to have an extra day of the conference where we spend the whole day teaching the ministers. Remember the restoration movement that I'm wanting to have in Africa? We've kind of initiated it, but now we get to do it in process. We get to sit down with them and say, "Okay, here's how we do it." Because when we taught them stuff about baptism, it blew their minds. We taught them stuff about communion, it blew their minds. And I said, "Look, it's in the Bible. This is the way they did it. This is why they came together for the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. They came together for the purpose of breaking bread." And Jesus, the one who said, "Verily, verily," which in the Greek is, "Amen, amen, I say unto you, unless a man's born of water and spirit, he shall no way enter the kingdom of heaven." So we got to teach them things that just blew their minds. And they said, and they kept asking, "What about this? And what about that? And where does it say that in the Bible?" And it was, anyway, we get to have a whole day just talking to the preachers next year. So I'm thankful for that. I'm really thankful. That's indescribable grace. Now, how consistently are we thanking God for his indescribable grace for us? Do you have God's indescribable grace? He gave me a He gave me salvation. He gave me His Spirit. He gave me brothers and sisters in Christ. He gave me a wife that loves God and loves me and loves our grandkids, our kids. Indescribable grace. Now, why is it so important that the gift of God's indescribable? Because God's indescribable. Okay? I don't want a God that I can tell you everything He does. I don't understand everything about God. God does things in ways I can't imagine doing things. He has done in things I can't imagine Him doing things. And so God's grace is indescribable. So the lesson today is to keep on thanking God for His overflowing gift. You guys gave gifts to us and gifts to our granddaughter Jasmine. And she used those, and Kathy used those, and we used those to try to bless others. But it didn't end there. They're using that to bless others. And they're using that to bless others. And it's just taken off. And I believe, like I told him, I says, the reason we came to Africa is because in August of 2001, there were as many Christians in Africa as there were in North America. By 2007, they doubled us. By 2014, they quadrupled us. Today, there are 6 Christians in Africa for every Christian in the United States. I said, the reason why I think that's happening is because in Luke chapter 8, when it tells us the parable of the sower, some of the seed fell in the thorny ground, and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choked out the word of God, and it became unfruitful. I says, that's America. We got so much stuff that we are concerned with the stuff, and we let the word of God be choked out, and not it doesn't bear fruit. I said, now, and then at the end, in the next verse, he says, but some of the seed fell in the good soil, and that represents those who with a good and honest heart, and they have such good, honest hearts, they receive the word, and with perseverance produce fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. I says, that's Uganda. I says, I think the hope for the kingdom of God resides in the heart of Africa. And we want it to thrive here. And I want a Christianity there that is the Bible Christianity, not just some denominational thing. There's stuff that they teach and that they do because that's what some preacher told them to do. And I say, that's a nice thought, but where does it say that in the Bible? And I've got them thinking that way. Thank you. Thank you for making this possible. It just fills my heart. Fills my heart. Okay. So keep thanking God for His indescribable gift, His overflowing gift, because it's just flowing to more and more people. You can't imagine what Henry's doing over there with his gardens, with his walking tractor. It's an overgrown rototiller with a 2-meter blade, so it's a big one, okay? That's 6 feet long, okay? And he can tear up a lot of ground with that thing, but he's feeding thousands with that one rototiller. It's amazing what he's able to do with that. So, how is God allowing your gifts to overflow with thanksgiving? You blessed us, you blessed our granddaughter, and then you get to bless the ones that we got to teach and serve. And then you're getting to bless the ones that they teach and serve. Your gift is overflowing. Thank you. Okay, are you enjoying the praises to God for your overflowing service? See, it's not just in Africa. The stuff we're doing over there, we got to be doing in Circleville, don't we? We've got to be doing that in Pickway County. We've got to be doing that around the area. We've got to be the light of the world where we are, starting in our homes, with our marriages, with our children, in our own backyard. Are you being strengthened by the prayers of others? It is so encouraging. I know I've told you in the past, every Monday morning, over 100 people pray for me. Hundreds of people pray for me. And we pray for them. Because we all graduate from the same school. And in chapel, every Monday morning, they lead in prayer. And one of their prayers is for all the graduates of the school. So I know they're praying for me every Monday morning. Okay? We need to be praying for people. And know that there's people praying. When I know people are praying for me, I can do anything. There's a bunch of people in Africa thanking God for people in Circleville. Thank you. Thank you. Are you strengthened by that prayer, those prayers? Now, how often are you thanking God for his indescribable gift? Well, now, I'm sick, you know, the kids had the flu and they came by this week. We had all these problems and, you know, I've got this problem with it. Stop. You're going to heaven. You got the gift of the Holy Spirit. You got all your sins forgiven. The God you serve dwells in unapproachable light, and then he lets you approach him with boldness. As a child, he's not ashamed to call us his brethren. I mean, there's so many things. Wow, that's indescribable. Thank God for it. Thank God for his indescribable gift. How often do you do that? Well, I got all these problems. No, you don't have these problems. It doesn't say count your many problems. It says count your many blessings. We got blessings in Christ. Thank God for his indescribable gift. Because when you do that, you're way more fun to be with anyway. So, how can we help you? If you've not been thanking God for his indescribable gift, if you've been filled with complaining when the Bible says don't be complaining and don't be arguing and don't be those things, let's change our hearts so that those overflowing gifts that he gives you, see, it doesn't ever say that you're to be a reservoir of God's grace. Jesus says, he that believes in me from his innermost being, from his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. He spake this concerning the Spirit in John 7, verse 37 through 39. He said, that gift is not in you, so you just sit around and be blessed. It's supposed to flow from you to bless others. I think we did that in Africa. I think we need to keep doing that in Circleville, wherever we are. We need to do that in our homes. We do that in our neighborhoods. Do that with our relatives. Do that with our coworkers. Do that with our friends. Let it overflow. God wants to bless the people in our world using our hands, using our lips. If you're not yet surrendered to the one who can transform your life, it's time. If you've already been baptized into Christ, you've made that commitment, and now you just need us to pray with you about something, whatever your need might be, we call you to come while we stand and while we sing.